on my door! Knock next time!
Yes, sir.
Did you see anything?
No, sir. I didn't see you playing with your dolls again.
Good!
The Lone Ranger. Horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger.
Hi-Yo Silver, away!
With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early West. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Hello and welcome to Fire and Water Presents and another installment of Where Does He Get Those Wonderful Toys, or Those Wonderful Toys for short. I'm your host, Chris Franklin, but today I'm not alone. Joining me once more on Wonderful Toys is my Superman Movie Minute co-host and the only other guy I know who's on a first name basis with Richard Donner, my chemosabi, Mr. Rob Kelly. Hey, Rob.
Thank you, Chris. Happy to be here. I don't know. I'm talking like Green Lantern on Challenge of the Super Friends. I don't know what I'm doing. Just ignore me. I'm super happy to be here. You know I love this show. You have such a great passion for this stuff. I wish there was more toy talk on the network. So, like, I'm just super jazzed. I almost don't want to be on the show because I just like to hear you talk. And you don't need me gumming up the works. But nevertheless, we're here to talk about the Lone Ranger toys. And so this is exciting.
Yes, we, Rob and I, in case you missed it, it should have dropped just yesterday. As things dropped, we covered the Legend of the Lone Ranger on Rob's Film and Water show. And so we thought we would continue the Lone Ranger momentum and talk about the Johnny Depp Army Hammer. No, hell no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the Gabriel Lone Ranger lines, both of them, from the 70s line based on just the Legend of the Lone Ranger in general. And then the actual 80s line that's based on the movie The Legend of the Lone Ranger that famously starred Master Thespian Clinton Spilsbury. So we're on a Lone Ranger kick. So, Rob, we didn't really get into this last time on Film and Water. What's your history with the Lone Ranger?
I don't have much of one. He's just one of those characters that, you know, was around. I watched a bit of the Filmation show just because it was on Saturday morning. You know, and so I watched it, but I was never really big on it. As I mentioned in the Film and Water show, this movie must have come and gone because my dad never took me to it. And it was right in the sweet spot of when he was taking me and my sister to see movies all the time. And this would have been something that we would have gone to see. So it must have just been very, very quick. I was aware of the character and the toys, because if you bought any comic books from 1981, you saw the ad for the free Western town.
Yes.
That you could get, because this thing ran on the back cover of every DC comic known to man for about a year. I mean, every single comic book virtually in my collection from that time has that ad. So, like, the Lone Rangers is one of those things where I'm like, if there was like a version that had like been more in front of me, I probably would have enjoyed it, because he's like a superhero. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I, other than that, I just don't have a whole like great connection. And I was kind of into the idea of them doing a reboot when the Depp version was coming out. But then I saw that it was just Johnny Depp with funny hats on. I was like, all right, pass. So I've got it done with him anyway. So and as we talked about in Film and Water, that the Legend of Lone Ranger, the movie, is not as bad as its reputation suggests. So I'm sort of interested in going back into, maybe you talked about maybe we should cover some of the Clayton Moore movies, which I would be up for, because I'm kind of like into it. I'd like to know more about this character and the history.
Yeah, I'm a real big fan of those two movies, because they take, you know, Clayton Moore and Jay Silverheels were great as the characters, and they give them a bigger budget. They give them like this, it's a huge, I mean, it feels like a big, like a Randolph Scott movie, you know.
If I had my hat on, I would have taken it off.
Right. Sorry, I had to do the Blazing Saddles thing, which we also covered a long time ago on Film.
We did.
But yeah, it's got the scope of a movie of that time, like a Glenn Ford movie or a Randolph Scott movie. So it's really nice. We should talk about those. Yeah, they're fun.
I'd be up for that.
Let's do it. Maybe not right now, but we'll do
it. Not right now.
We got to watch them first again. But Lone Ranger, you know, of course, he debuted on radio out of Detroit in 1933. He was a huge character in the 30s and 40s on radio. He had movie serials. There was merchandise made of the Lone Ranger, you know, back in the 40s from the radio show and the serials. The TV show really, of course, put him over. That's when, you know, licensing really came into its own as TV came up. As far as action figures, the first Lone Ranger action figure was an in-action figure that were made by Heartland, who made hard plastic cowboys and horses and, you know, cowboys and Indians, cowboys and Native Americans. And they made figures of Lone Ranger and Tonto and Silver and Scout, their horses. They did not move. They were in their permanent, you know, horse riding position, but you could still play with Lone Ranger figures. The first actual action figure of the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains was included in the first series of outfits produced by Ideal for their Captain Action line in 1966. Bold and brave, strong and true, wink of lightning from the blue.
Captain Action, so super powerful you can change him into 9 of the mightiest superheroes of all time. Change Captain Action's uniform and face mask and he's Batman, fighting crime with his batarang. He's the mysterious Phantom. He's the Lone Ranger. He's Flash Gordon and he's Superman flying to the rescue. Get Captain Action complete with uniform, sword, and ray gun. Then get his 9 other great superhero outfits. They each come with action-ready uniform, face mask, and realistic equipment.
Fighting evil, that's creed. Thunder power, lightning speed. Captain Action, he's ideal.
Tonto followed in 1967. And of course, Captain Action is famously the action figure that is, you dress him as the superheroes. There's outfits that you change Captain Action into. And I have to, this is a good part for me to plug the fact that I went to Mego Meet last week in Columbus, Ohio. And Marty Abrams, who was the president of Mego during its 70s heyday, was there. And actually, he is relaunching Mego as a company. And he took some questions and they asked him who his favorite figure was. And he actually said Batman, because a guy had, I believe it was Stan Weston, who had also helped launch Captain Action and brought Captain Action to Ideal, came to Marty Abrams and said, hey, are you interested in any of these characters to do action figures of? And Marty jumped on Batman because he knew Batman was popular. And Stan Weston said, well, are you sure Batman didn't work? And he said, No, Batman worked. Captain Action didn't work. Kids know that Batman's Bruce Wayne, that Spider-Man's Peter Parker. They know who Clark Kent is. You guys, the guys at Ideal, didn't realize that kids don't want some guy dressed up as Batman. They want Batman. So, yeah, so I thought that was pretty funny. But we're derailing off the Lone Ranger. But anyway, that's... and honestly, one thing he brought up was... he mentioned the Lone Ranger to him, and Marty passed, which is unfortunate. We didn't get a Mego, you know, Mego, Lone Ranger, and Tonto to mix in with our world's greatest superheroes. But we can't really complain, because not too long after, and dates vary all over the internet on where when this line started, but the earliest markings I can see on the packaging that I have says 1973. So around the same time that Mego launched the world's greatest superheroes, Gabriel Toys launched their Lone Ranger or Lone Ranger Rides Again series of figures. And these are gorgeous toys, Rob. I mean, these, to me, they stand out amongst the pack. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the box art is particularly really beautiful. I love the paintings. I like how they all kind of have like one major color. You know, and then the sort of the dominates the box. I mean, you know what I mean? Like the Lone Ranger's kind of like the big yellow and Tonto has the blue. Mm-hmm. Red sleeves that I character I'm completely unfamiliar with is really striking. So yeah, no, they're beautiful. It does. It is a shame that the Lone Ranger always kind of seemed to be, like, outside of Captain Action, which you mentioned, he always seemed to be, just, like, not quite there for the big group get-togethers. Because, like, there are Lone Ranger power records, but they were kind of, like, not really part of, like, they're from Peter Pan. They're not part of, like, the power record set, and they were never done as comic books. And there was no, like, Lone Ranger comic book, like, Marvel and DC never licensed the character. It always seemed like, I don't know, like, he just never quite made it into, you know, the big group setting, which is too bad, because I think Amigo Lone Ranger would have been amazing. I mean, we know that their Western figures were really beautiful. They did a really, I mean, almost virtually all the stuff Amigo did in the 70s was beautiful. So they would have done a great set. So yeah, it's a shame we never got that.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing Mego did of the Lone Ranger is they made a super softy of him, which was the stuff.
What the hell? That's like the Plastic Man stretchy doll, you know, where it's like this one off of a character. You're like, wait, how did he make it into that little piece of merchandise and nothing else? Like, it's just such a weird little detail.
I don't know. I've always kind of wondered that myself. So the Lone Ranger figures were taller than Mego. They're about 9.5 inches tall. They made figures of the Lone Ranger, Tonto, villain Butch Cavendish, who did not look like Christopher Lloyd because he hadn't played him yet. But he does kind of look like, do you know who played Butch Cavendish on the TV series?
I do not.
Glenn Strange.
Oh, wow. Frankenstein. Yes. Oh, that's cool. It kind of looks like Glenn Strange, painting.
It does kind of look like Glenn Strange. It's not a bad likeness. He had a mustache on there. It kind of looked like he did when he was on Gunsmoke as the bartender.
That's cool. Yeah. Oh, that's great. I love Glenn Strange. That's great.
Yep. So Glenn Strange got a lot of action figure love, you know? So.
He did.
So they also made Lone Ranger's nephew, Dan Reed, who's as we mentioned on Film Noir, the future father of the Green Hornet. His Native American blood brother, Little Bear, and their Native American rival, Red Sleeves, who I don't really know much about Red Sleeves or Little Bear from the radio shows and the TV shows I remember listening to or watching. So they're kind of new to me, but hey, you know, they filled out the line. For the British market, Marks, which you'll find this line labeled as Gabriel, Hubley, and Marks, because different, much like Mego had Pin toys and all those different distributors and different arms in different countries. It's according to where you got the figure, how it was labeled. Marks made Sheriff Tex Dawson of Carson City and Mexican outlaw El Lobo, which, of course, we know means the wolf.
That's right.
But I think most people realize that El Lobo is like the most overused, like, Spanish translation for a, you know, I mean, that's, I think everybody knows Lobo means wolf, so they use it on everything. I mean, you know, I had an RC remote control car when I was a kid called Lobo because it had a wolf on it, you know.
And of course, there was Sheriff Lobo.
There was Sheriff Lobo, which, you know, they never got a toy line. I mean, why wasn't there a Sheriff Lobo BJ and the Bear action figure line?
That seems like a Mego toy line that they would have invested in after Star Wars to just lose more money.
Right. Well, and they could have done the 3 3/4 size because they had the CB McCall trucker line, right?
Oh, no. We are going down a rabbit hole here.
Brian Hyler's ears just perked up. But it's like C.B. McCall, which I got to see Brian last weekend, which was cool at Mego Meet.
Fantastic. That's great.
Yeah. Honestly, if you want to see these Lone Ranger toys, the best place I can point you to is Plaid Stallion's Brian's site. He's got a gorgeous gallery of just about everything in the line there. And I'm leaning heavily on it for this episode, and I'm going to definitely post some images and definitely a link to it.
Can I just say something about, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. Can I just say something about Plaid Stallions?
Yeah.
Don't go to Plaid Stallions if you don't have a lot of time, because you will disappear. You will just find yourself clicking links and researching old posts and following Brian's train of thought from one line to another. And before you know it, 3 hours have passed.
Yes.
That's how fun that site is. So if you have something scheduled, don't go to Plaid Stallions.
If you want to check out, though, that's if you
want to, if you want to just tune out of the world for a couple hours, that is the place to go.
Yes, it is. It's awesome. Yeah, the sculpts on these were really well done. They were sculpted by Bill Lemon, who also did a lot of work for Mego. I believe he did the he had a lot of Western experience. He did the Marks Best of the West Johnny West line, which was all hard plastic line from a few years earlier. These Lone Ranger figures have cloth costumes. There's obviously an inspiration of the G.I. Joe line here, because they went with, well-detailed figures with a lot of accessory sets in this line, a lot of adventure sets. So the Hasbro's G.I. Joe model was definitely an influence here. And speaking of G.I. Joe, there's something really interesting about the sculpt they used for the Lone Ranger. And that was something that was brought up by Brian on MegoMuseum.com and Plaid Stallions. The same basic sculpt was used on the Lone Ranger here. On the shrunk down 8-inch Super Joe, which was the last gasp of the original G.I. Joe line before it took a few years off and came back as the Real American Hero 3 3/4 line. The same head sculpt is used on a obscure Mego line produced by Denny Fisher called The Angels, which was based on a British TV series. There's a patient that has the same head sculpt as the Lone Ranger. And here's the kicker. Mego proper used it on the magnetic 12-inch Robin figure that they produced.
Wow. Never throw anything away.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know if Bill Lemon just kept taking that sculpt to different people and slightly modifying it. But I mean, the Lone Ranger figure has a removable mask because even though the Lone Ranger never takes his mask off after he becomes a Lone Ranger, he does when he's in disguise, and they have disguise outfits for him, so that's why the mask is removable. And I remember as a kid, the first thing I lost was the Lone Ranger's mask.
Of course.
So the only downside to these, really, they're so well done, the costumes are so well tailored, and honestly, they're nicer than most of your 8-inch Migos. Now, your bigger Migos, some of them are pretty nice, but they are a little step up in the quality area for costumes. The only thing is their bodies. Much like Migos' bodies are strung together and can get loose, these are even worse. And I currently have a very floppy Lone Ranger that I need to look into getting restrung. He's very, the way I've got him posed is rearing up on Silver, and basically him holding onto the reins is keeping him from just flopping over, basically.
If you have a floppy Lone Ranger, please consult your doctor.
Yeah, it's like, we need some action figure Viagra for the Lone Ranger line. like you said, the painted artwork on the boxes are fantastic. And these came in a variety of ways. They were, the figures were released in, like, there were some window boxes later. There were some bubble cards. But the boxes are what you usually see. And the artwork's gorgeous on everything. Yeah. There's a figure of the Lone Ranger rearing up on Silver on, like, every package, which is
Love that. I just noticed that I love that that's a recurring motif on all the cards, on all the boxes. I think that's such a great, I literally just discovered that 2 seconds before you said it. Yeah. I love that. I think that's a great detail.
Yeah, that's really nice. And they all came with a comic book. They came with a mini comic, and I remember the Lone Ranger's comic, for instance. Unfortunately, my Lone Ranger doesn't have his comic. I need to get one. But it had the origin of the Lone Ranger. So it had the Bryant's Gap massacre and everything in it. And just like Clayton Moore, in all of his versions of the Lone Ranger, they never show the Lone Ranger's face before he puts the mask on. It's always in shadow.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so you never really see his face, which they did that, like I said, they did that on the Clayton Moore TV series. And I forgot to mention when we talked about how Legend of the Lone Ranger, it took him like an hour to get to him in costume, you know, in his mask. Well, in the second Clayton Moore movie, Lone Ranger in the City of Gold, now I don't know why it's not in the first one, but in the second one, they have a whole opening sequence that's the origin of the Lone Ranger that's over a song. And they do it in like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, they do the origin of Lone Ranger. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So they also made, of course, they made horses for the Lone Ranger. The trusty steeds, they made Silver and Scout, of course. They had Cavendish's horse, Smoke, also known as Bandit sometimes. So Smoke and the Bandit, I don't know.
There you go.
Dan's pony, Banjo, was produced, but I have a question. I thought that Dan Reed's horse was named Victor, because if A Christmas Story told us anything, it's that the Lone Ranger's nephew's horse was Victor, because that's how the old man won his major award, you know, so, but anyway.
Right. Son of a bitch.
Yes. Yeah. They also made Tonto's pet eagle, Taka. So they had eagle in a box. The horses sometimes came in combinations with the riders. So you could get a Lone Ranger and Silver gift set and a Tonto and Scout gift set. and we'll get to that later. But that's how I got my Lone Ranger and Tonto later on. The horses could pull the deluxe 4-in-1 prairie wagon, which was like a chuck wagon and an ore wagon and like four different kinds of wagons, just because, you know, because kids have to have four different types of wagons for, you know, this line's going deep now.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's serious about recreating the West. I mean, that's one thing I really like about it is it's like it's all in. It's like taking this concept very seriously.
And they even have the Lone Ranger on silver in the background of the boxes for the sets too. Prairie Wagon and like even Solitary Trapper.
Yeah.
Like you see Lone Ranger in the background. Like it looks kind of weird. The Lone Ranger's there, kind of like ignoring the action, but I appreciate their fidelity, you know, to it. Like they're like, no, damn it, we're putting this on every painting.
Lone Ranger is photobombing every package. He's like, oh, let's get a picture of the Solitary Trapper. It's like, what the Lone Ranger got in the back again. Damn it.
He was there early photo back when you had to really put a lot of effort to photobomb somebody because the guy had the hood over him and he had the camera and the exposure. He had to set off the explosion. It was a lot of effort back then.
You had to sit still for 5 minutes, which is why nobody smiled in pictures before the 1900s. Now, Gabriel, like I said, they didn't skip out on accessory sets for the figures either, since the Lone Ranger, you know, like I said, he was often shown to be a master of disguise. They gave him plenty of outfits for him to change into, like the Lazy Trapper, the Rebel Rider, and a seersucker suit for the kidnappers. Each outfit was themed as being part of some kind of adventure, and you either dressed the Lone Ranger or Tonto in those outfits or one of their enemies or allies, so you could mix and match, but, you know, that was the idea, was to switch them up. Some of these are really, really a lot of fun, and I really dig the artwork on these as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's and I come across some pieces out of these adventure sets at a big flea market or something they had in the gym downtown one time, and I didn't know what they were. I didn't know they were to the Lone Ranger line, and I picked up some stuff in like a bag, and years later I recognize that it came when I, you know, the internet came along and sites like Brian's came along. I recognize that some of these pieces belong to that. So there's probably, you know, some people probably get these and think, well, these are too small for G.I. Joe. Well, they probably,
right.
They belong to this set. I mean, you know, the adventure of the stolen rifles and the adventure of the Last Chance Saloon and just a lot of fun. I mean, a lot of play value in this line. It's really, really well done.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine if you're a kid and you're into this time period, this is great. Like this is Star Wars level deep.
Yeah.
You know, how much stuff is in this. And I appreciate Gabriel's liberal use of the exclamation marks. Because it's not just Mysterious Prospector. It's Mysterious Prospector!
Yeah.
And Solitary Trapper. Solitary Trapper! Like, they're really trying to make it sound exciting.
Yeah. They're very much on the, more exclamation marks mean more exciting. Yeah. Now, they made more deluxe accessory or adventure sets as well. These came with either a complete outfit or at least some additional clothing for the characters. But they had plenty of additional items and little plastic pieces for you to lose instantly and for your mom to suck up in a vacuum cleaner, you know?
That is the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
Razors and razor blades. That's how it works.
That's right. I mean, my daughter's huge into Lego, and whenever she buys a Lego set, she always wants to start opening it in the car. I'm like, don't open it in the car. Don't open it in the car. And my mom used to say the same thing, especially with like G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, because they always came with all those tiny guns and knives and... He's like, you'll lose the guns. Don't open the car. You'll lose the guns. And I open the car. I lost the guns. So I can imagine these items were the same way. The Apache Buffalo Hunt came with a buffalo skin for Tonto to wear. It shows him on the package with him wearing it. That's the kind of, that's like, thought they smelled bad on the outside. The Carson City Bank Robbery set came with a sombrero, and probably which they used for El Lobo later. And I'm sure they reused it. And a neckerchief for Cavendish to disguise himself. He's got TNT, a vault, and a bag of money. I love the tribal powwow set came with a peace pipe. So
there's definitely some stuff here that wouldn't pass muster nowadays. Like I say, the gun runners set.
Yeah. Probably not. No. Yeah, there are some really cool little bits in each one of these things. I mean the cavalry, the Lost Cavalry Patrol. Again, you got the cavalry. You've got the, you know, you've got a flag. You got a bugle. The Hopi medicine man's got like a cool like eagle headdress with the wings that you can put on the figure and like a little totem pole thing and really, really sharp stuff. And you mentioned the Mysterious Prospector. Well, that's one of the Lone Ranger's go-to disguises, you know, which is kind of odd because they show the Lone Ranger in the background. So who's this guy? but that actually came with a pack mule, as well as the disguise and the beard and everything. Really cool.
It's the Matches Malone of the Lone Ranger.
He is. He's the go-to disguise. Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. And they made the Solitary Trapper, had his own canoe. So he came with a vehicle, you know, they both came with rides, the mule and the canoe. So that's really sweet. They didn't skimp out. They gave him a play set in the U.S. Kids could get the Carson City play set made of sturdy coated cardboard, just like, you know, most of our play sets were back in the 70s before we got spoiled by, you know, actual plastic play sets in the 80s. and the artwork on the Carson City play set is really, really sweet. I mean, it's just like, I don't know who painted the Lone Ranger boxes. I'd love to know. And if anybody knows, let us know. I've never seen that anywhere in my research, but I mean, you got a blacksmith, you've got the saloon, you've got a hotel, you've got a jail. It's all suggested, basically. There's like doors that open. There's like characters painted looking out the window. There's guys sitting in the saloon playing cards. The blacksmith's actually hammering out a horseshoe. It's really, really sweet. And I would love to have this, but I just have no idea where I'd put it. So
The artwork looks like stuff you would have seen in, you know, like a magazine, like a Saturday Evening Post.
Right.
Or spot illustrations in like children's books. You know what I mean? Like it's the real deal. They probably, I would argue, like they wonder if they got like historical painters to do this stuff as opposed to saying toy art guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So, yeah, it's really very, very nice. Yeah, I could see all this stuff collected in a book and just like this is, you know, historical Western art.
Right. Yeah. It looks like it. And my dad used to get that like a True West magazine that had the
painted, right, yeah, that kind of thing. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, he used to buy that. He's a huge Western fan, and he's got stacks of those things, and he's actually given them to me before to use for reference when I was drawing something set in the Old West. And like Earl Norum, who did a lot of the Marvel covers, did that. He did a lot of the He-Man Masters of the Universe art later. This doesn't particularly look like him, but it looks in that vein, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think you're right. I think this is probably done by somebody, a commercial artist who knows the West from probably those magazines or something like that. Really, yep. Really sharp.
I had no idea that there was this much Lone Ranger stuff until we were doing research for this episode. I literally had no idea it went this deep. This is a lot. This is a big line.
Yeah, it's huge. And it's a part of the problem, I think, is everywhere pretty much I look, it's like, nobody, there's not a consensus on when this line was produced. So it's like I said, like my Butch Cavendish box says 73, but my Lone Ranger box says 75. So I'm guessing the line started in 73, 74, depending on when they actually released it, and ran up through the 70s. But then one thing I saw said the line actually came back out again, and that's when it was called The Lone Ranger Rides Again. But I don't think that's right. I think it always said The Lone Ranger Rides Again, because, you know, that's the whole thing of the radio show, The Lone Ranger Rides Again, you know. So the first time I noticed all the other stuff in the line was, I've got a hardcover book that I still got. It's the 1992 edition of Tomart's Price Guide to Action Figure Collectibles, and there's a whole, I'll scan this page in when we put the show notes up. There's a whole page of like a lot of the Lone Ranger stuff just laid out, and my jaw just hit the floor when I saw it, because I had no idea they made all this other stuff. And there's probably still more stuff that we don't even know about. I wouldn't be
probably,
surprised,
yeah,
that this line's got little hidden things. But I mean, like Plaid Stallions is a great place to look, because I'd say he's got a good chunk of it there. Now, they also, Marx and a European manufacturer named Sio, S-I-O, I guess Sio, they produced wooden play sets for the figures that have They got cardboard elements, but then like wooden frames, and they are really, you talk about deluxe. I mean, these things are, there's a stable, there's a jail with like a real, like real bars, and they're really sharp looking. I mean, really nice. Yeah. I think a lot of times my understanding is, even though kids here kind of started to fall out of love with Western themes and cowboys and Indians and things, it seems like over in Europe, I mean, well, like this, you know, the spaghetti Westerns and things were popular, still popular as Westerns kind of started to die out here. So kind of makes sense. I guess European kids were just more into the old West than we were. I guess we got, maybe kids just kind of got burnt out on it after so many Western TV shows in the 60s and stuff. I don't know. And Star Wars, you know.
Yeah, I think I really think Star Wars is the culprit here. Star Wars just came in like a colossus and just stomped over everything. I mean, it did in my life. You know what I mean? As much as I loved other stuff, once Star Wars came in, it was like, that's it. We're done.
Yeah, definitely.
Damn toys! Yay! Discount store! Waiting for you at your Playtown store!
Playtown has over 150 different Fisher-Price toys on display at low, low prices.
Playtown has all the great games from Gabriel, like Excel and Touche, plus the Lone Ranger.
From Hasbro's Potato Head to the famous Weebles people, you'll find more at your Playtown store.
Playtown stocks all the Kenner toys like Stretch Armstrong and Star Wars. They'll put you in orbit.
Playtown wants to be your toy store. Playtown wants to be your toy store.
So the line apparently ended sometime in the late 70s, and then in 1981, when the Legend of the Lone Ranger movie that Rob and I just covered on Film and Water came out, they released a line of 3 3/4 size Star Wars size figures, but they also reissued Lone Ranger, Tonto, Silver, and Scout in gift sets. And I got those for Christmas that year from my grandparents. And I don't think I even knew they existed. So I was like, opened them up, and like, that was a really cool gift to get, because one, my grandfather also liked the Lone Ranger, and he collected horses. He had he had some of the Mark's horses like up on shelves, and all sorts of different size scaled horses. He had a whole room. He's honestly where I get this sickness from, because he basically had a whole room full of stuff like that. And so they gave me the Lone Ranger and Tonto and the horse sets. And actually, Lone Ranger Tonto I have now, I had to replace those. They fell apart, bit the dust over the years because I played with them too much. But I still have the same Silver and Scout. So
wow.
they managed to survive through the years. There's a little super glue holding them together here and there, but but I can still pose them for the most part and stuff. So they survived. As they, like I said, they reissued those, but of course they made the 3 3/4 size figures for The Legend of the Lone Ranger. And in keeping with the movie, of course, they made the Lone Ranger, Tonto, and Butch Cavendish. Of course, they looked a little more like the movie, like they looked more like the designs of the movie. Lone Ranger's hair wasn't quite as long as Clint Spilsbury's, but he did have the kind of muted blue-gray suit. Butch Cavendish looks a little more like Christopher Lloyd, although he's got a hat, which we never see Lloyd in the movie. And unfortunately, he didn't come with this cool cape he had on, where he kind of looked Dracula-like in a couple scenes. But so, now, do you remember ever seeing any of these figures, either series, out in the wild, Rob?
Nada. I have no memory of these. Like, literally, growing up, the only memory of these at all is that ad.
That ad,
the
yes.
back of DC Comics. That is, I never saw these. And if I had, they would have been a blur on the way to the Star Wars section. That right. was just, you know, I was like, I need Dengar. You know, I just would have been like, Butch Cavendish, who cares?
But,
you
Butch know, Cavendish or Mummy Johnny Cash. I'll take Dengar, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so. Right, exactly.
of course, the two heroes and the main villain all got their horses, Silver Scout and Smoke, and they were available in pairs once more, the small size figures. But interestingly, they also made figures of Buffalo Bill Cody and General George Armstrong Custer, so you could extinguish an indigenous animal species or fail epically in your adventure at Little Battle of the Bighorn if you wanted to. So, you know.
That's fun!
Yeah.
I'm surprised there's no Ulysses S. Grant here.
Me too.
Just because he figures so big in the so largely in the movie. I mean, Amy Stryker. No surprise. There's no Amy Stryker.
Right.
But Grant is enough in the movie. I guess because he's not an action character. But I don't know. It just seems like considering if you're trying to replicate the play of the movie, I would think you would have him because he's pretty big.
Right. It really surprised me. There's no Grant or no Wild Bill Hickok. And I've actually tracked the, you know, I've got a whole set of the figures now from the movie line. I don't have the horses, and the figures aren't complete. They're missing, most of them are missing their guns and things. But I do have a set of them, and I had to go back and double check and make sure. Did they make Grant and Hickok? And I for some reason in my head, I thought they made Hickok, but apparently they didn't. And why they didn't make Grant, I have absolutely no idea. And I mean, you can make a point, why didn't they make Dan Reed or John Reed before he was the Lone Ranger, maybe like, you know, removable mask and color change outfit or something. You dip him in water and he turns blue.
Yeah. I bet you would think that they would go out of their way to make more than one Lone Ranger because he's obviously the draw.
Right.
Of the line. So, yeah, you would think they would try and contrive different ways. Because he spends, you know, half the movie not as the Lone Ranger.
Right.
And it would make a boring figure, I guess. But nevertheless, I'm a little surprised. I mean, it's like when Kenner did the Batman animated series line. They never ran out of versions of Batman for them to produce.
Right, yeah. It's like, and even later on when they did a similar character, like they did the figures on The Shadow, based on the Alec Baldwin movie, they came out with multiple versions of The Shadow.
That never appeared in the movie.
That never appeared in the movie, yeah. It's interesting that you can mingle in the Butch and Sundance, the early days action figure line that Kenner made, in with your Legend of the Lone Ranger figures, because they're in the same scale. So
yeah,
sure. Yeah. So you could have one of them be John Reed, I guess. I don't know.
If only they had made Star Trek figures at this scale, because then you could have the Star Trekkers go back in time to the Old West, and they could meet Lone Ranger and Tonto and whatnot.
Well, now, one thing, you know, a cool crossover would be, around this same time Remco made the mini monsters, you could have your Wolfman meet the Lone Ranger, and that would be a short story. Silver Bullet, you know?
That would be pretty cool, mixing all sorts. I mean, there was, I guess, the motion picture action figures, and they might blend in. So you could do a whole bunch of crazy genre mashups if you wanted to.
And actually, Ertl made Star Trek 3 figures in this scale.
They did.
They made, there's two Christopher Lloyds in 3 3/4 scale.
That's right.
Yeah, they made Cruise.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, the Carson City, the famous, well, the Western Town, as it was called, that you talk about, was famously advertised on the back of every comic book ever in this period, was basically a shrunk down version of the larger Carson City playset. I mean, a lot of the artwork's the same. If all of it might be the same, actually. I mean, I noticed that the blacksmith was the same, and like the saloon was the same. So it's pretty much the larger playset just shrank down to the 3 3/4 scale. So why not? You know, and I don't know about you, but I loved the mail-ins back then. I loved sending in my flag points from G.I. Joe.
Man. Oh, that stuff was great. Yeah. Oh, I spent many hours of my childhood cutting out Kenner proof of purchases.
Yes.
Mailing them in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That stuff was great. You know what's funny though? It's like, and I saw this on one of the websites I visited, was like on the back of the cards for this line, it was all like they had like a Silver Bullet, which was like kind of a proof of purchase, but that's not what you sent in. To get the Western done, you actually had to send in the names of the characters. That's what you cut out and sent in. So it was like, why did they bother with the Silver Bullet little iconography if that wasn't what you would send? You would think the Silver Bullet would have been the thing. Would have been, because like the poster hinges on the Silver Bullet, although the toy packaging doesn't feature the bullet. It features an original painting.
Yeah.
But that's weird that the Silver Bullet is on the back of the package, but you're not supposed to do anything with it.
Yeah, that was really strange, and maybe it was because they wanted to prove that kids went and hunted, because their case ratios were whacked. Because I can tell you right now that I wanted to buy the Lone Ranger figure. I found the line. I never found the Lone Ranger. I found Tonto upon Tonto upon Tonto, and some of the other figures. And in fact, a few years later, like 1987, I think, Big Lots opened in our town. And they had rack upon rack of Legend of the Lone Ranger figure. And I thought, oh my God, I've hit pay dirt. And this is around the time I was starting to get into collecting. I was He's like, I can't play with action figures anymore. I'm too old, but I'm going to collect them. So I sifted through all these Lone Ranger figures. Every single one of them was Tonto. Mm. I mean, I don't know if they was like just all the remaindered figures. They gathered them up and they just way overproduced Tonto. I stupidly didn't buy the Tonto that day, which I should have. And they sat there forever. I don't know what happened to them, but I never bought them. But it's kind of dumb of me at the time. But yeah, I wanted to get into this line, but without the Lone Ranger, what was the point? You know. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely one of those lines that if you didn't have the main character, there was really not a whole lot of need. And it's like the exact opposite today. They overship the main character, and you can't find the secondary characters.
Right.
Nowadays.
Yep.
This line does have a kind of a brother sister line, I guess you would say. I guess it's a brother line because, as we mentioned, Filmation was running a Lone Ranger, Tarzan, Lone Ranger, Zorro, Hour of Adventure on CBS at this time. So Gabriel made Zorro figures based on that cartoon, and they're in the same scale, and the horses, I'm sure, are the same molds. You know, they made the Zorro had a sidekick in that show called Amigo, which was like, okay. They made both of them, and they made their horses, and they made the sergeant or whatever, Captain Ramon or whatever his name was. They made his horse as well. So this line kind of extends a little bit about outside of this. But one thing I really like about these figures is they're really well made. They're very strongly constructed. They're sturdier than like the G.I. Joe Real American Hero. They don't have the rubber O-ring holding them together like the G.I. Joes do. But they are made to where their legs, you know, they can sit on the horse. They spread apart to where they will ride on a horse. So they're not, you know, they're more articulated than Kenner's Star Wars figures because they got knee articulation, but they don't have elbow. But so they're not as articulated as G.I. Joe, which of course had the elbow, and then later after series one had the swivel arm battle grip, you know, which
I'd like that myself.
Yeah. I would like to have that, which really did make the figures because then they could actually hold a gun in a, you know, a way that made sense. So, but I think it's a really sharp line. You talked about the packaging. It's a neat figure. It's a neat image of the Lone Ranger's like face kind of painted across the sky, and there's a figure of the Lone Ranger riding alongside. It's nice. It's not as nice as the larger figures, but it's pretty sharp. And it's pretty striking looking figure. So this was a nice line. Gabriel, my understanding was they got bought by, I believe they got bought up by CBS, who had changed them into CBS Toys, and I think they had also bought Ideal at some point, and then they sold their toy arm off to somebody else. Like, so this was kind of the last gasp of Gabriel. Legend of Lone Ranger was kind of the last thing they really did, which is a shame. This is kind of more of an obscure line. I know collectors who are deep into the Gabriel, especially the larger figures, and some of the collections I've seen online of when people share their photos is just, it's awesome. I mean, there's a huge world to dive into. I think Brian's got catalogs from, I think, 75, 6, and 7, I think, up somewhere on his on Plaid Stallion. So we know it ran for several years, but not really that long considering how much stuff they put out. They put out a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. It underscores what a crapshoot the toy business is because, I mean, you know, the money they spent on those back covers of DC Comics for this Western town, that had to be a pretty penny,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then it just flopped.
Yeah.
It just, you know, I mean, because, I mean, they, you know, I imagine that Gabriel only saw stills from the movie. They probably couldn't see the completed movie because of the time wise. So they were just guessing.
Right.
It was the same thing. We all know the Star Wars story. Kenner was just guessing that this thing might work.
Right.
And boy, howdy did it.
Yeah.
So you can see Gabriel was like, well, Lone Ranger, people like that, kids like that. I mean, there was a toy line just a couple years ago. That was a hit.
Yeah.
So why not? So let's spend all this marketing money. And then it just, you know, just the movie flops and the toy line flops. And it's like, that's not anybody's fault. Gabriel did its job. They made a really nice line of toys. The packaging is really nice. it's just, it was attached to a movie nobody wanted to see.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of, I meant to bring this up when we're doing Film and Water. In a way, it's kind of interesting. I don't really want to get into this too deep because it might set off the ire of people, but it, you know, the controversy and the underperformance of the Lone Ranger can't help me. It, now, don't get me wrong, it flopped hard. But you got Solo with its troubled production, and then you got The Legend of the Lone Ranger with its troubled production, and it's like you got all this this merchandising stuff that's out for Solo, but yet the movie's like not living up to the usual Star Wars standard. So, I mean, that stuff still goes on even with a surefire property, you know? So like you said, it's such a crapshoot. You just never know how things are going to go over. I wouldn't want to, I mean, I work in marketing. It's not in toys or anything like that. I do graphic design and marketing, but I don't think I would want to work, I think I would be so crestfallen if I put out such a beautiful product like Gabriel did and then have the movie flop and then just the toy line die on the vine because of it. You know,
it's all remaindered instantly. That's got to be really disappointing.
Right. But, you know, I mean, there was some really nice stuff done for the Lone Ranger movie from a few years back with Armie Hammer and Johnny Depp. Really nice Lego sets. Very nice sets. And I got a couple just so I could, the cheap one, so I'd have a Lego Lone Ranger to go in my case with my Lone Ranger stuff. You know, and the movie was horrible. And it deserves every bit of ire it gets, in my opinion. That movie woke up and became the movie it was supposed to be in the last 5 minutes of it, maybe. It's a shame. You just never know. But I think you're right. I think the first Gabriel line was successful for him. It lasted several years. And honestly, that's all toy manufacturers can hope for is to get a good 2 or 3 years out of a toy line because,
right, yeah,
you know, kids grow out of it. New kids come in. They're not interested in it. They're interested in something else. Something else has already taken, you know, caught their fancy. And yes, I'm sure Star Wars was the death knell for not only the Lone Ranger in general, but honestly the Western toy. Really, I mean the Western.
Yeah, yeah.
This is probably the last true gasp of when kids played with, you know, cowboys and Indians. I mean, honestly, the Western toys. So it's kind of sad, but you know, obviously, kids, you know, kids likes the space Western aspect of Han Solo, and so there you go. You know, so
well, I mean, you think about the superpowers line, like every nerd our age, like just we say the superpowers collection the same way you say Randolph Scott. You know, you just take off the hat, you're just And yet that line ran 3 years.
Right. Exactly.
That's it. You know, this stuff is never Star Wars is the exception that it spans multi-generations of toy collectors. But for that, and G.I. Joe, I guess, to a certain extent. But for the most part, these things burn brightly. I mean, if you watch those The Toys That Made Us documentaries on Netflix, for the most part, these toy lines, you know, are like comets. You know, like they burn they're Nova level hot for like a couple of years and then they're bang, remaindered. And forgotten. And that's just, again, it's got to be a brutal business to be in.
Yeah. And it's like, you've got to know when to pull out, you know, and kind of start decreasing what you're doing. And yeah, I mean, like you're right. I don't know what else to, you've said it so well, there's no point in me belaboring the point. You said it. So
you're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I think that's all I got to say about Lone Ranger toys. You got anything else to add?
No, I mean, again, I think it's a fine line. Again, I like that they redid their original artwork for they're just not repurposing the movie art. That's really nice. Like I said, it's a nice collection of toys, and I could see if you're a collector of kind of like off-brand toys, like this would be a fun line to collect because there is a sort of appeal in collecting lines that didn't go anywhere. Like if I had all the money in the world, I would collect Clash of the Titans action figures because I love that movie and that toy line went nowhere.
Yeah.
And I would love to own them because the card art is so beautiful. So there's a fun thing to kind of almost be like corner the market on, you know, toy lines that nobody cares about because you can't corner the market on Kenner Star Wars. You'd have to be a billionaire to afford all that. But yeah, the toy aisles are littered with corpses of Legend of the Lone Ranger and Raiders of the Lost Ark and all this stuff that you think brand name wise would be a winner, and yet they weren't. But yeah, this was a nice, again, we said, we're repeating ourselves. Gabriel did a nice job. They did what was expected of them. It was just attached to the wrong movie.
Right. And the earlier line is just as gorgeous. I think it's honestly one of the nicest action figure lines that at retail. I mean, nowadays, you got your collector hot toys and things like that, but released for kids to play with at retail, it's one of the nicest lines that anybody ever produced. I really do. I think it's really sharp with an attention to detail that a lot of other manufacturers wouldn't have done. I mean, and I hate to say that, probably Mego wouldn't have even done as well with it. So as much as I love Mego, I know.
It's fighting words.
I know. I just don't think, I think Mego wouldn't have gone as in depth with it. They would have been, okay, we'll do this with we'll make Lone Ranger. We'll give him a couple guns. It'll look good. But we're not going to go into all this other with him because we've got a busy, you know, we got to add a good Green Arrow, a car.
We
got Share dolls to crank out. We got Starsky and Hutch dolls. We got to make a Huggy Bear. We've got Planet of the Apes figures. Gabriel was all in on one property, and they went in depth with it. And I think it's why it's so nice. And I actually have my Lone Ranger figures in a case that came from my grandparents' house. So that's a nice little. I feel cool that the horses are back in the case that came from my grandparents' house, which was in the room when I opened the box Christmas Eve night of 1981. So it makes me feel all nice and warm and fuzzy. So I have a lot of love for this line. So thank you for talking about it with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I said, I wish we had like a whole like weekly show on Toy Talk. I just find this stuff endlessly fascinating. And so I'm glad you're doing this. I love the show. And like I said, I'm almost sorry that I'm on it, because now when I listen back to this episode, I'm going to just have to hear my own dumb voice, which I don't like. But I appreciate you having me on. And this was fun doing this 1-2 punch on the Lone Ranger. I like when we get to do like not theme weeks, but like, you know, successive parts on the network. That's kind of the whole idea of the network, is to cross pollinate each other. So this was fun doing Film and Water and then Wonderful Toys back to back.
Yes, very much so. And we definitely need to cover those Clayton Moore Lone Ranger movies. We should do a double feature and do those.
I'd be up for that. That sounds fun.
Let's do it. All right. Okay, guys, that'll do it for this episode of Wonderful Toys. Of course, you know, Rob's all over the network. I'm all over the network. Fire and Water podcast.com. So check it out there. Also go to Plaid Stallions and check out all the photos and catalogs that Brian's got up. We can't praise Plaid Stallions enough. It's a fantastic resource, but like Rob said, take a couple days off vacation and then go, you know.
And thank you. Heard of vacation time or sick time? Is Plaid Stallions time.
That's right. Thank us and you'll thank us later. So that'll do it for now, and please put away your toys when you're done, and don't let your mom vacuum up your peace pipe, okay? Bye.
Bye.
Some legends tell of men who died to open up the West. They rode through hell to find their promised land. The legends tell
Lone Ranger.
Shaving makes my face feel like it's been in a knockdown fight with an outlaw. That's why I'm glad there's a skin conditioner in Aquavelva. Right, Tano?
That's right, Kimasabi. Aquavelva does more than just smell nice. It makes face feel like quietly, cool and smooth.
Well said, Tano.
Aquavelva. It does a lot more than just smell nice.
Are you still there?